It is May 26th, 2015, UWF, UFF bargaining. I'm Brendan Kelly.
I'm Mike Matamore.
Anita Schoenberger.
Cindy Faria.
John Fink.
Right, I mean.
You know, Jonathan, you were asking about what's the status with the legislative session. The Florida Trend Magazine put out something today saying that the Senate has concocted a plan. Now, I don't know what happens with that plan, but they think that they have a compromise plan.
Any details to that?
You know, it didn't say. It just said Florida Senate confident that the compromise is in the works.
I saw something that the administration put forward some kind of potential compromise as well, or potential funds. We'll just wait and see.
Yeah. Things are interesting there. But we'll see. It's coming up pretty soon. Where's the gym? One of the things that we wanted to do was introduce an issue, reintroduce an issue, and it's something that we have brought up in the past, and that has to do with sick leave balance buyouts. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a considerable amount of resources that go into that. It used to be that public accountancy would allow you to have an estimate as to what you spend in an average year, and then that would go into your budget, and now those rules changed. And balances, sick leave balances that are subject to buyouts are now, you almost have to part money for a much larger estimate of what could be the cost, because, you know, I guess in some places things could happen. You know, people could be a natural disaster or something, and everyone walks out the door at once and cashes in. You know, so anyway, we are going to bring this back up because we think that we are committing resources to that particular benefit that doesn't flow to people while they're working for us, while they're active in their careers. You know, one of the things we're looking at, for example, is sabbaticals. Sabbatical is a benefit that is enjoyed by someone while they're our employee. We receive positive benefits as a result of the sabbatical. And it's someone who works for us and will continue to work for us before and after the benefit is. Where this sick leave buyout, I think, is sort of a hangover from state employment, really, where the state has balances of sick leave and annual leave that they pay out for us, their civil service employees. We looked at the what's happening in the other universities, and have captured that for you.
Coming to magnifying glass.
But so University of Florida, if you were hired after 4/2010, you're not eligible. University of South Florida, you're not eligible if you were hired after January 1st, 2014. At Florida Atlantic University, there's no payout if you were hired after June 1st, 2010. At Florida International University, there's no payout for people hired July 1st, 2006 or later. And at Florida State University, there's no payout for those people hired after May 6, 2011. The University of Central Florida has proposed in their current bargaining to eliminate sick leave buyouts for those people employed after June 2010. So it looks like we have a pretty clear pattern throughout the state of moving toward the elimination of this benefit for a certain group of
Sure. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So on the dates, Shane, when they are, like we have 2010, 2011, 2006, right, 2014, does that correspond to the same time when that rule was ratified? So, for example, when this one says 2010, did that go into effect in 2010? Do you know when they introduced this material into the CBA?
Yeah. I can't give you the dates when they were introduced, but they do not coincide. They all kicked it back to some earlier date. Like, for example, I was negotiating the contract at FIU and they did it. They actually didn't do it through a contract provision. They did it by a revised policy. Mm-hmm. But the UFF accepted it. And I think they kicked it back, like, maybe this was like 2010. Mm-hmm. They kicked it back a couple of years. And I think Florida State just entered into this cutoff last year.
Okay.
And they seem to have kicked it back 5 years.
I know the sound, because I'm looking into a little bit of this too, because that seems to be the trend. And I know the South Florida one is, because that was just ratified, I think, and that says 2014, right? So they basically said on all future employees.
That's what it looks like there, yeah. I think the thought process, well, at the University of Central Florida, they put on the table a cutoff of 2010. And their thought processes there were, if you have been an employee for 5 or more years, you're close enough to the vesting point where you may have made decisions in your life about mm-hmm. holding on to leave, or where if you're first, second, third, fourth year into your employment, it's probably less likely that you've been making a lot of decisions about holding on to sick leave. Mm-hmm. So we have actual language that we want you to consider for Article 19.
Thank you.
And what we're proposing is that the cutoff date be July 1st, 2010. So anyone who has been hired after July 1st, 2010 would not be eligible for a buyout of unused sick leave if they happen to stay around for the 10 years that's required of anyone who has the benefit. And then on the last page, we just conform some other language to the cutoff date.
Okay, so there would be no There would be no change in the policies for people hired prior to 2010.
Correct.
Okay. Right. So
it's the same amount. There's no reduction of the amount of balance that they can get paid out for, and there's no change to the 10-year eligibility.
I wasn't the chief negotiator when you guys were doing this before, but I observed a lot of those conversations and familiar with the range of conversations about that. So I don't really feel the need to rehash a lot of that conversation.
Good.
I understand the parameters. One of the things that's essential on our end is to make sure that faculty don't feel as if they're having a benefit pulled out from under them. Like, they sign on to a contract with a certain expectation of benefits, and then to have those benefits change underneath them is something that we want to resist on our side. Conversely, though, I do recognize that this is a pattern that's going on, and I think that there's some places that we can have discussions about whether it might be mutually beneficial for the teams to discuss that.
Okay, good.
Did you have any changes to the leaves beyond what you've written here? Was there any other components to it that you put forward here?
No. The only language change that we're putting on the table is has to do with sick leave.
You know what? Can we verify that?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I just want to make sure. Like, I don't remember what else is in 19. So
all the other leaves.
I want to.
It feels a little light.
Yeah,
I know that.
It's 19 is actually one of the longest articles in the contract.
Yeah. So you're saying, is there anything else we want to put forward in 19 besides 19.9?
I was just wondering if this had any counterparts to the proposal. Okay.
Thank you. So when we have a caucus, we'll take a look at that.
Yeah. And obviously, we're not going to sign off on this. It's an entry discussion point.
Right.
Did you have anything else? Well, anything else on the leaves that you wanted to articulate?
No.
What about on sabbatical stuff? Any?
Well, we're still working on that, and we should have a written proposal by the next time we meet.
Okay. Well, why don't we caucus then? Okay. You guys rolling?
Yep.
Okay, great. Again, kind of as the pattern we've gone through, is these are preliminary conversations, right? You guys, this is an official proposal that you guys have on the table,
right.
But our response is just a conversation about
good.
These things, so it's not to be misconstrued as a proposal or response. One of the things I think there's some space where we can look towards common ground in here. We'll need, of course, to go back and consult with a lot of people and get some different thoughts on that. We recognize this movement in the university system. One of the things, as I mentioned previously, that we're very aware of is that we don't want to pull a benefit away from faculty who have signed on under an expectation of what a contract entails, right? And so I think that's one of the things that we'll look at. This also is a major cost saving position for the university, and we anticipate a counter proposal from our end that takes that into consideration as well.
Okay.
But we'll wait. Are you planning to put forward a leaves article in addition to this, or is this your proposal?
Well, we talked about it in caucus, and there may be some other language changes that we would bring up for the leaves article, so we'll bring you a full leaves article at some point.
Okay.
And it may reflect some other changes.
Okay. We might, depending on how we might put forward a leaves that takes into consideration what you've put here and have a counter.
Okay.
On that. Okay, but we'll have to wait and see. Did you all want to talk? We have a little bit of some additional just conversation about sabbaticals. If you guys want to have conversation that while we're sitting here, I went back through. These are just notes. This is not a proposal.
It's
just notes. I went back through several of the CBAs from the other universities based on our conversation last time. And there's a range of ways in which sabbaticals are allocated. It seems like the FIU model is ideal for what we discussed last time. The way that they define it, this tough part is language specifically from theirs, they define it as competitive sabbaticals and non-competitive sabbaticals. And that's just it's just a language change of what we currently have, because ours, it's competitive for the full year at the full semester at full pay that we have, and we have the same proportion of 1 in 40. And then the second one for the full year at half pay is you automatically receive it assuming you meet all the criteria. So they define it as competitive and non-competitive. In their competitive sabbaticals, this is where they have introduced the two-thirds pay for two semesters, right? So it says each year the university shall make available at least one sabbatical at full pay for one semester and one sabbatical at two-thirds pay for two semesters for each 40 tenured employees, right? So that's I think that would be a simple way to introduce some of the outlines that we discussed last time. And the way I read it is that each of those have a ratio of 1 to 40. There's a slide, and that's actually a question I wanted to ask you all. I'm sorry,
The confusion that I'm looking at, it's you read two-thirds, but does it not say three-quarters?
Where?
Am I reading wrong?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was like, these are just my notes. I meant to say two-thirds.
Wait a minute.
Okay,
let's go back.
So that's a good question. I need to go back and look at the FIU one, because they might say, I can't remember if I typed that in as two-thirds or three-quarter. I'll have to look it in.
Okay, but, sure.
But it would be the same the same ratio, right? Our intent in our conversation was 3/4. I'm not sure why it says 2/3, but yeah. So you would have, competitive sabbaticals for the full semester full pay, or 2 semesters at, when we discussed 3/4 pay. I might have just typed that incorrectly.
No, it could be they have this, whereas UWF's 3/4.
Right. Yeah, but what we talked about was 3/4. That could be the exact language.
Yeah, this is what they have.
This is the important part. This is the model of the language. I think that
gotcha.
Mirrors the intent of what we were discussing.
Gotcha.
I looked for the application process and reporting. That was one of the things you all discussed last time, was about what are the reporting parameters for sabbaticals if you were to increase that payment for the full year. This seems standard across all the universities. Of the 30 days of returning from a sabbatical, you have to submit your report based on your actions over that time period. I didn't see any language in any of the CBAs mirroring what you guys talked about, the potential of saying the clock doesn't start until it's accepted or something. I think that those concerns would be taken care of in other articles. I don't know the details, Mike, of that situation that you guys are dealing with now, but I imagine that that's something that's addressed outside of the sabbatical article that looked at in other articles of the CBA. One of the things also, I had one of the questions, our sabbatical article, it defines that ratio of 1/40 as eligible faculty, right? And so I didn't know if that meant eligible in that they have completed that 6 years past tenure to be eligible for a sabbatical, or in the language of the FIU one, it just says 40 tenured employees.
I think ours currently says eligible.
Yeah, and ours says eligible. So I don't know if those are synonyms for each other. If eligibility is a synonym, or if it means, if it's a narrower number, and say that to be eligible, you have to have had 6 years since tenure. In other words, immediately eligible, rather than just tenured.
Yeah.
Because I think ours has an eligibility paragraph, down one or two below it. Mm-hmm. It says eligibility, and it says tenure, full-time tenure plus 6 years.
Right, but so it says eligibility for sabbatical, full-time tenured faculty members with at least 6 years of full-time service to the university will be eligible for a sabbatical, right? Mm-hmm. But so I don't know in that ratio if it means when it says that for each 40 eligible faculty members, but you could also interpret that, I think, potentially in another way and say eligible as in a tenure earning faculty member would be eligible in a sabbatical tract in some way. I mean, there might be another way to interpret that as well. So it's just a calculation question.
Right.
My assumption is that it's just synonymous for tenure. One of the things I also wanted to look up to see how that ratio, how is it literally applied? What does it mean, right? So by my count, we have 103 tenured faculty right now. That's the number of people who are just going through, who are scheduled for an SPE right now.
Right.
So the BOT released that there's 5 new tenured faculty, or so it looks like we've got 108 tenured faculty who would be eligible. At this ratio, currently, the university is only required to fund 2, right? At the one that I would, that's the way I interpret it.
Yeah.
1/40 is that they're only required. Now they have, and that's just a minimum. We talked about this last time.
Right.
I looked at our current ones. We have 8 full pay 1 semester sabbaticals, the competitive ones for next year.
Okay.
Right. And 3 of the half pay sabbaticals, the non competitive ones.
Okay.
So we're clearly allocating more than that, but it's something to keep in mind of how that ratio is actually applied.
Right. Okay. Good.
So anyway, those are our thoughts on that for further clarification.
Okay. Good. Does anybody have any questions or further thoughts on
the? Can I ask you a question? The one, I think the 103 is plain tenured, not with at least 6 years, although they're likely to be the same people.
These are 103 right. people who were scheduled for an SPE, not including library faculty. Right. That was the easiest place I could, because you guys just released the list of okay. everybody who has an okay. upcoming SPE. So okay. so it lists all of the tenured associate and full professors okay. on there.
Okay, so that's what that number stands for.
And that's where that number.
And no librarians.
No, because they're not tenured. They don't. They're not. My understanding is the library faculty aren't eligible for sabbaticals.
No. But for the SPE, they are.
They are, but I made sure not to include them.
I just, excluded them. Okay.
Yeah. There's only like three or four that are on the SPE yes. list anyway.
Well, if this year is not an unusual year, and there were five faculty members that received tenure this year, so we have. The way you calculated may impact 30 people, right? The numbers, because that would be the, if it was tenure plus six instead of just all tenure, the pool would be less 30, right?
Yeah, potentially, yeah. I don't know. But then you could also flip it the other way and say if it means eligible means faculty in a tenure track line who will eventually be eligible for a sabbatical. That mm-hmm. could include the people who have the tenure line faculty who haven't received tenure yet.
Yeah. So, well, we'll have to look at the language and
yeah.
look at how it's been.
I'm pretty sure it says tenure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm assuming they're synonyms.
Pretty sure it says tenure.
They're synonyms for tenure. Yeah. But
I have received sabbatical 4 times already. It cannot be. And I've been 28 years here. Every so many years since I joined, not after tenure, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, what we're going to do is we're going, I mean, I don't think we have much to add to what we said last time, mm-hmm. which is, you know, we would like to have a sabbatical article that is going to result in meaningful sabbatical experiences and that a contribution to the university results from there. And that there's a, you know, where we can clarify the process and the pathway to that
yeah.
and from that, good, let's do that.
Well, it's also interesting, you know, if you looked at, if you assume a faculty member's salary is $100,000, right, just for easy math,
right?
I would imagine that if you're assuming that the faculty member's courses are going to be replaced by an adjunct teaching them, like rather than, you know, a full-time faculty member, part of the reason that the full year at half pay is, in a sense, non-competitive is the university makes money in that scenario. Just if you're looking at just at the teaching of those classes, right? If in the competitive one that we have right now at the full pay, full semester, one semester, the university is still accountable for that full $100,000, right? Then they have to pay one semester of what we assume are 3 classes. So that's an additional, if it's 4,000 a class or something, that's an additional
right.
12 grand, right? In the 3-quarter pay for the full year, if that person is making $100,000, the university is responsible for 75,000 of that pay,
right?
And then 6 total classes, right? Because they have to do it 3 for each semester. So right. that's another 24 grand. So that's essentially the same amount of overall money of $100,000, because it's 75 plus 24. It's $1,000 less rather than $100,000, for their normal thing. Now I know there's other things that go into that, like your service and your other work yeah. as well. But there's a potential that the university, if they start allocating more full year sabbaticals at 75%, that they're going to. It's potentially a cost savings component as well. It's cheaper for them, I would argue, than the full pay one semester if they're having to replace those classes.
Yeah, if they have to replace those classes, it's clearly a cost.
Mm-hmm.
An additional cost. All right, do you have anything that you would like to ask or bring up?
Yeah. Anything additional on the tenure clock extension proposal or anything?
I don't think we have something on that either. What we do have is dates to propose.
Okay.
And the
master
of the calendar
has left it in the office.
Okay.
No, I brought it. Okay. We have a lot of vacations that all happened in June. So we have very few dates in June. June 1, June 2 in the afternoon, and June 22nd.
Well, there's vacation, then there's business travel.
Sure.
June
22nd,
business
when?
Travel. June 22nd, I think we have any time during that day.
Even the mornings?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think.
I can.
Am I missing something?
Yeah. I teach at 12.
Is it? So is it June 1st anytime?
Yes. Okay. June 2nd in the afternoon, June 22nd. My notes say anytime.
Okay. So why don't, if it's okay, because I don't have like Tom's schedule or Daniel's schedule, or other members, if we take these 3 days and get back to you in the next couple days.
Okay.
Ideally, I mean, we'll probably. I don't know how quick of a turnaround we can get if we did it, if the 2 days were the first and the second, but we'll try and figure.
Can I just say something about that? I don't think those ever work right, where we do 2 days back to back, because we don't have any time to do anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know we tried one. I forget, but I don't think it's a valuable use of all of our time.
Keep 1 week all the way or something.
At least, because we have no way of. Well, sure. Communicating so fast.
Yeah, it kind of depends. I mean, sometimes we can turn around things more quickly. Just is the nature of the structure of it. Let's keep those three open right now, just to see what.
Good. And we have some dates in July.
Cool.
Okay. Let's just go back to those for a second.
Yes.
If you would communicate like you have been with Amanda, to tell her the dates. She will look, okay?
Okay. Yeah, so I've got the June 1st anytime, June 2nd afternoon, and June 22nd anytime.
Yeah. Correct. Okay. All right, July 17, 20, 21, the afternoon of the 27th, 28, 30. They're all somewhat huddled together.
Okay. So
17, 20, 21,
28, 30.
Yeah, 20 in the afternoon, the 27th.
27th afternoon.
Yeah.
Okay, so 17, 20. So any time or 17, 20, 21, 28, 30, and 27th is afternoon.
If we plan it soon, those times of day will be any. But if we don't, some of the time of day will be gone.
Okay. Well, yeah, and we'll look to plan both months. I think that's helpful, especially for the summer.
Yeah.
Good.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.